Soon, the word went around that Palua and her beautiful D-cup friends had posed nude for the Sex Store magazine, but when it became apparent that it was a trap, the female missionaries were outraged, and they wanted to stop the photos from being published. They knew what would happen if those photos were published, even if they didn't want to admit it. They knew how bad it would be for their men, and how much the beautiful photos of beautiful, nude Palua would inflame their desires, and they could imagine just how many men would subscribe to the Sex Store magazine to see beautiful Palua naked. They were sure they could stop it, but they found the Sex Store had done nothing wrong, and it was simply their right to refuse to give the girls' clothing back, and their right to set conditions, because they had sincerely and openly refused to acknowledge the value of chastity clothes, and they had genuinely required the girls to refuse to even acknowledge the existence of their chastity clothes while they were in the Sex Store, to create a wonderful, fun atmosphere, centered on health and well-being, as well as sexual openness and beauty. The female missionaries were desperate, and they offered to pay the Sex Store money, not to publish the photos, provided Palua promised not to go back to the Sex Store. The Sex Store agreed, but they said they had to pay $25,000, because they knew the missionaries could hardly afford it. The missionaries had about $23,000, and the Sex Store said they had to pay it right away, the whole $23,000, and the remaining $2,000 within 3 weeks. The missionaries were sure they could pay, so they agreed to the deal, planning to sign and hand over the first installment within 2 days. But Palua found out what was going on, and whispered to her friends that there was a big worry that the money wouldn't be found, and the missionaries would lose everything, and she and her friends would still appear nude. Palua seemed clearly disappointed at the thought of the photos not being published, and the man followed her closely and carefully, keeping hidden, listening through their bedroom windows to the girls telling their secrets. He heard Palua suggesting a secret fear, that before they signed, the Sex Store might impose extra conditions, like if they couldn't find the money, the girls would have to appear nude again. The man had drilled peepholes in their bedroom windows, and he could see the excitement at the thought, and he saw Palua's large, teenage breasts jiggling excitedly at the thought, like she desperately wanted it to happen. The man quickly contacted the Sex Store, and told them what he had seen, and suggested Palua's wonderful idea. They said it was an excellent suggestion, and they were very impressed at his work in finding this information, and they promised him it meant Palua was more ready now for bottom sex than she had ever been, and whilst they couldn't tell him much, they had very good information that the money would not arrive, that there would be a big mistake, and the money would be late. The man understood it to mean that the male missionaries had told the Sex Store what would happen, and they could make sure of it. They were able to get the female missionaries to agree to the new conditions, as well as Palua and her parents, because they were assured the money was easily available, and would take only 1 or 2 weeks to arrive. They were promised nothing could go wrong. As his excitement grew, waiting for the beautiful nude pictorial, the Sex Store began to put more and more pressure on the girl's chastity. They began to introduce the concepts of a nude, a girl who was naturally nude, who admitted she was a natural nude, and a bare bottom, a girl who loved slipping her pants down to show herself cheekily, but who otherwise was not really unchaste. They had a long article about nudes and bare bottoms, frankly and sincerely discussing the advantages and disadvantages, and honestly and sincerely talking about the difficulties faced by young girls who were starting to discover that they really were nudes or bare bottoms at heart. They explained that there were many myths about these girls, and the man read with fascination, because he had heard Palua was really interested in the article, and he overheard her discussing with her friends the possibility that she might, in spite of all those chastity lessons, really be one of these girls. The female missionaries were shocked at these new articles in the Sex Store magazine, but they were even more shocked when the money didn't arrive, and Palua and her friends found themselves under contract to go to the Sex Store for a nude photo shoot. Palua had clearly been thinking about it a lot, and when they interviewed her, the questions immediately targeted the issue of whether she was really a nude, because there had been a lot of speculation, and they had seen the signs, and men were buzzing with interest. Although she had no choice about taking her clothes off and being photographed, Palua didn't have to say so much in the interviews, But she told them everything they were hoping for, and she soon began to admit that she was really starting to think she might be a bare bottom, and those helpful articles in the Sex Store magazine were really helping her to understand herself. And even if she couldn't be sure she really wanted to be a nude, she admitted she would probably be much happier if she really did become one. And this time, when it came time for the girls to collect their clothing, Palua kept her panties off her bottom, even more than halfway, so that her ass was almost fully visible, and it felt natural looking at her like this, with her breasts nude, and her ass almost completely exposed, and really did seem like she was a teenage bare bottom, like it was the proper way to look at her, the way he really saw her, not the girl who used to be praised for doing cartwheels, but the girl who was now praised for her gigantic bosom, and her exceptionally shapely bottom. Soon, the photos were published, and Palua and her lovely D-cup friends were nude in the Sex Store magazine. Palua's crotch was visible, and it was the first time he had seen her pubic hair properly, and it was a beautiful, soft, small tuft of fur, and there was also a nude shot, where she was sitting, posing as if she was on the toilet, but with her ass up, showing. The man thought he could see a beauty spot on her bottom, but it was just hidden in shadow. Most of her ass was visible, and her breasts were visible too, and the photo became famous as the favorite photo of nearly every male. Palua's photo shoot was responsible for more of the male missionaries buying subscriptions than any other photo shoot. Soon, nearly all of them were subscribing, secretly, to the Sex Store magazine. The day it came out, before her parents had a chance to tell her off, Palua had a copy, and gave it to her suitor. She was supposed to be angry, but she seemed to be willing to make use of it. She was over his house, while his mother was out, even though his mother had forbidden him to invite Palua over. The man watched what was happening in the suitor's backyard, hidden behind a tree. Palua showed him the photos, laughing and smiling, telling him she didn't want him to miss out on the real thing. He looked at her lovely, large breasts longingly, but he was resistant. She looked disappointed, but she knew about the other girl. The subject came up in their conversation, and Palua was close to tears. She clearly wanted sex with him very badly, and didn't like the thought that another girl could be preferred to her. She asked about the other girl, and told him she had been making inquiries, and had seen one or two photos, and she had seen that the rival had very small breasts, and no real bottom, at least nothing much. She couldn't believe that it would be difficult. There was a hose nearby, and she turned on the tap, and playfully sprayed him with water, then she allowed him to take the hose from her, and he soon got her back, until her clothing was wet right through. She told him it was now really uncomfortable, and asked him to be a gentleman, and help her. He helped to remove her clothing, and they were laughing together, but she noticed he was careful not to touch her breasts, as he removed her shirt, and careful not to touch her ass, when he removed her pants. Suddenly, she was naked in front of her suitor, and she held his hand between her thighs, against her crotch, lovingly looking into his eyes, and she said, "I can't believe you would prefer that broomstick to me." He withdrew his hand, caressed her breasts gently, but the man could tell that the suitor was looking at her like she was cheap. Palua didn't understand that look, clearly didn't understand the concept, because she was just 18 years old, and very naive. Even so, the suitor looked at her like he knew what he wanted, and when he looked at her like she was cheap, it didn't seem to lessen his sexual desire, and the man could see her suitor's penis jizzling, leaving a wet patch on his pants, as he fondled her breasts nervously. When he looked at her like she was cheap, it just seemed to change his affection for her, so that he wanted sex with her much sooner, and he was lovingly touching her breasts, when he had not expected to touch any girl's breasts before marriage. Because she was a D-cup, it was natural she would win, but her victory had clearly given her suitor a very different impression of her. Now she had shown him her breasts, and pushed them into his face, pushed her voluptuous breasts in his face, so he would forget this other girl, and now she had shown her breasts to other men in the magazine, so her suitor would know she was hotly desired by other men, so he would know he was touching breasts that other men wanted. She allowed him to lovingly caress her bottom, until she seemed to get the signal that he was aroused, that he was conquered, that he wanted the pleasure to happen between them, and although the man knew Palua was wanting to open her thighs to him, and keen to lovingly show him her ass, and even though he had heard her even talking to her friends about opening her lovely sluice gates to him, lovingly inviting him to have bottom sex with her, she seemed to get nervous and shy away. She was allowing him to catch her and touch her lovely breasts, and playfully touch her bottom, but she always pulled away and let him chase her around the backyard, around the washing line, squirting her with the hose, spraying her clothes with water, so they stayed wet, so she wouldn't be able to put them back on, but she made sure he was able to touch her frequently and lovingly, and even give her loving kisses, kissing her full on the mouth, with their lips and tongues meeting together, allowing him to kiss her, and then standing away from him, allowing him to look at her ass and her breasts in profile, asking him if he read the Sex Store magazine, and asking him what he thought about the article on bottom sex. He tried to caress her bottom when she talked about bottom sex, but although she was clearly sincere in communicating to him an interest in bottom sex, she was nervous and afraid when he touched her bottom at exactly that moment, and she wouldn't allow it, and she clearly resisted and pushed him away. The Sex Store magazine had included the most serious articles about bottom sex alongside the important feature article about poo, and Palua asked him if he had read the article. In the article, the Sex Store had told the girls it was an important and wonderful conversation they could have with a man to talk about pooing in public, and to talk about how they might release their poo if they didn't have time to get to a toilet, and it was important for them to talk about whether they would do that thing that had happened with that man, and whether they would poo on someone's carpet if they couldn't get to a toilet in time. Palua didn't mention these things, but her suitor must have known about the article. The man knew the suitor was being tested, to see how supportive he would be if something went wrong with Palua, if she did something like that man had done. When he had released his poo, especially when it first spilled out of his loincloth onto the floor, and he knew it was really happening, he had never felt so far from Palua, like she was pristine and perfect, like he couldn't touch her, but now he saw there was an element in her that was not just pure and perfect, that he might find supportive as well. Perhaps the pooing would get them closer, even though the suitor was in the way, and that was all he cared about. He knew he would feel glad about the pooing, if it brought him closer to Palua's bottom, if it gave his penis even a chance to jizzle by rubbing her bottom, or better yet, to jizzle inside her bottom hole, inside her anus. The suitor told her supportive things, while she allowed her lovely bottom to rub against the clothesline pole, allowing him to look, but not touch. He told her he would be understanding, but it seemed he was nervous about encouraging her, and worried it would really happen, and he tried telling her it shouldn't be possible for anything like that to go wrong. It seemed the suitor had made a bad move, like he wasn't meant to judge her like that, and she didn't seem to appreciate the advice, but it didn't stop her wanting to show her breasts to him. She seemed to freeze and go a little cold when he said those judgmental things to her, but when he kept emphasizing that he would be supportive no matter what, it seemed to free Palua's thighs a little, and she took the hose from him, and every time he said something supportive, she sprayed her breasts with a fine mist, and showed them lovingly to him, and when he said something wrong, she covered her breasts, and argued with him that he was judging things he didn't understand. Every time she covered her breasts, he quickly returned to supporting her, and it was clear that looking at Palua's breasts was much more important than having the correct beliefs. When she saw him responding, Palua was starting to get more warmed up, and it was clear she was thinking about opening her thighs to him, and when he went over and held her, caressing her bottom, and told her it wouldn't matter where she did her poo, or on whose carpet, he promised only to listen to her, she looked at him lovingly and longingly, and began undoing his pants and his shirt, and she lay backwards in the grass, and she told him, "Show me how you prefer me to that broomstick. Show me how you would rather make love to me. Show me what you want to do, take it. Show me how you want to make love to a D-cup girl like me, not a girl who isn't even a C-cup. Don't you want to fuck me? Don't you want to bottom fuck a girl with solid tits?" The suitor lay on top of her, turned her on her stomach, caressed her ass, and began fondling her lovely tits, lovingly caressing her lovely breasts, and he was about to start removing his jeans, when his mom saw them and screamed. The man was relieved that someone had stopped this from happening. The mom had come home early, and they really weren't expecting her. It was a terrible shock for all of them, for the couple, because they were expecting lovemaking, and for the mother, because she had thought her son would leave Palu alone, and not go near her. It soon became official that Palua's relationship was over, and her suitor wouldn't be seeing her. He also had to break up with his love interest back home, because of what had happened. He felt very guilty, but he still wanted Palua more than ever. Palua, a girl who had taken private chastity lessons, had tried offering her breasts to one of the male missionaries, and she was inviting him to have bottom sex with her. Her behavior in chastity class didn't improve, and she got into a lot of trouble with her parents over those photos in the sex store magazine. Her parents were shocked at what she had done, but because she had done it with her friends, it was easy enough to cope with the pressure for a while, and feel good about it afterwards. She knew that men had started subscribing to the sex store magazine, just because of her, and she felt very proud.